You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Carrying yourself in a feminine manner, but you done messed around and gave place to a strong spirit that got you acting masculine. Strong enemies. And people don't want to admit it, but how many know our adversaries do have some strength? Yeah, our adversaries do have some power. And if your enemies get the best of you in life, you are in a distressed situation. Biblically, you can also say that a person that is in distress is experiencing affliction, problems, trouble, hardship, whether it be in your personal life or your family, academics, or what have you. You just got some affliction, some problems, or some trouble that you're dealing with. You didn't know that your family was going to end up in a homeless shelter. You didn't know that. And you just hoping to God don't nobody at school find out about it. And so you're dealing with this distress that's bigger than you. Your parents should be the ones that's making sure that you're being provided for. But for one reason or another, you, your siblings, and your parent, now you're in a homeless shelter. You didn't know that during the holidays you were going to have to go to the food pantry. You used to go into the grocery store, picking out what you want. Now you got to go to a place and they got to give you your food in a box. And you got to make do with whatever they give you. You used to shopping at H&M, Express. You used to going to the mall, going to this store, that store, putting your money on the counter. Now they talking about going to a thrift store and then got the nerve to say, look for anything that got a red tag because that is on sale. Ooh, see, some of us don't know how blessed you are. You don't have to go through none of this. But there are some young people in this city, some at your school, and some that come to this church, that their families are in distressful situations. It ain't that they don't want the newest and best shoes, clothes, and so forth. Right now, this is just the best that their family is able to provide for them. You never know what somebody on your row is going through, young people. You never know what the student that you go to school with and sit beside is going through. You never know what the star player on your team has to deal with when they leave the football field and go home. At one time or another, young people, you're going to have to deal with distressful situations. And some of us, as was said earlier, you may be dealing with some right now. Whether it looks like the examples I've given you or it's something that the Lord is dealing with you right now while he's using me to talk to you. How many, by my expression and these definitions, are familiar with being in a distressful situation by a show of hands? Yeah, everybody. Everybody in here. And if not, keep on living. Keep on living. And like I said, you and I got to know how to deal with problems or distress properly. You have to know how to deal with things that aggravate you properly, because you're not too cute. You don't make the grades that will exempt you from dealing with distress. You got to know how to deal with it. You can get a great job, but you still gonna have problems. When you get your own car, you still gonna have problems. Whether you got a girlfriend, boyfriend, or you single, you still gonna have problems. In the church and outside the church. And young people, you gotta deal with distressful people or situations properly. Because if not, distress, young people, has a way of dealing with a person and causing them to separate from God. If you're not careful, young people, your problems in life can cause you to look at God in the wrong manner. Think about God in the wrong manner. And instead of drawing you closer to God, it can actually separate you. Go to Romans 8 and let me look at a verse that Paul wrote to the Roman church that will back up what I just said. He asked a great question. Y'all still with me? Notice Romans 8. Because see, sometimes you can start, why me, Lord? Start having a pity party, thinking like you're the only one that has to deal with distressful situations and people that get on your nerves. Go to Romans 8 and look at what Paul asks in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and look at what he says, or distress. Paul was revealing, look, if you're not careful, your distressful situation can separate you. It can push you away from God. It can cause you to stop coming to church. It can cause you to choose to stop worshiping the Lord. It can cause you to choose to stop getting in his word and meditating on his word. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The commitment that you made. Who can separate you from the anointing? We don't need to let anybody separate us or anything separate us from the anointing. Why, Pastor? Because it's the anointing that empowers us. It's the anointing that gives us the strength to do all things. It's the anointing that not only empowers us, young people, but it destroys yokes. See, when we get to going through things, it will try to suck out the power from us, and it will try to depress us. But Christ or the anointing will empower us even when we're going through tough times, even when we're dealing with aggravating people that get on our last nerve. Look at somebody and say, don't you let anybody or anything separate you from the anointing. Yeah, you got to make sure you don't let anything or anybody separate you from the anointing. Whatever you go through, don't you let that thing separate you from what's going to give you strength. Don't you let that separate you from what's going to give you power. Don't you let that separate you for what's going to help you go through what God is allowing you to go through. Am I right about it? And so he said, who? And our answer needs to be nobody or nothing is going to separate me. I'm going to hang in there. What about you? Are you going to hang in there? And so when we consider Psalm 18, young people, In his distress, the psalmist began to seek the Lord. What a great lesson we have before us. When you get to going through things in your money, when you get to going through things in your body, when you get to facing tough times with people that you thought you were close to, it's time to start seeking the Lord. Look at the verse, Psalm 18 and 6. The first thing he said he did in his distress, young people, is he got to calling upon the Lord. What did the psalmist do? He got to calling upon the Lord. Didn't call mama. Didn't call a friend. Didn't call Siri. Didn't call Google. I'm going to call on the Lord, the one who can do anything, save fail. Now, when it talks about him calling on the Lord, of course, there are a number of meanings. But listen, young folk, he got loud. He began to open up his mouth and get audible with his God. He began to put away the shyness, put away being timid or fearful. Yeah. He began to open up his mouth and call on the Lord. And see, many young people get loud for a lot of things. I've seen young people sit in front of a PlayStation and get loud. I have seen young people go to a game and get loud. I have seen young people go to the movie theater and start yelling at the screen and get loud. But where are the young folk that are going to get loud when they need to call on the name of the Lord? Where are the young adults that don't mind who is around them? They will lift up their voice and call on the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, young folk, there comes a time when you get in your car, you got to cut the radio off, and you got to get loud in your car, even if fog comes up on the window and folk driving beside you are wondering what in the world is going on. If they were to ask you, you would tell them, I am calling on the Lord. There will come a time in your life you got to go in your dormitory room, shut the door, go in your bedroom and shut the door and start calling on the Lord. Your roommate come by and they hear you calling and they just come back later. Why? You getting loud. You're not being quiet or mouse quiet. You're going to do like Bartimaeus. You're going to lift up your voice and call on the name of the Lord. You remember Paul and Silas locked up in jail, but the Bible says, young people, at midnight, they begin to pray and sing alms. And the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. How could they hear them? Because they got loud. I'm tired of seeing young folk that get loud everywhere else but except for their God. You got to get loud. You got to open up your mouth. Lord, I need you. I'm going through something. Pepto-Bismol can't help me. Excedrin can't help me. My girlfriend cute, but she can't help me. If there's anybody that can help me, Lord, it's you. You gotta learn how to get off that cell phone and quit telling folk your business. And you gotta learn how to cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. You gotta get loud. You can't text God. You can't Snapchat with God. You can't do that. The Bible is clear. He got loud. He called on him. When was the last time you got loud for the Lord? When was the last time you came into his house and you got your mind and your feelings off your friends and you just stood there at your seat and you opened up your mouth and you told the Lord about what you're going through? When was the last time that you were at home by yourself and you cut off Netflix, you cut off Hulu, you cut off the phone, and you just got on the edge of your bed and you begin to call on the Lord? Your girlfriend kept reaching out, but you didn't respond. Your boyfriend kept tweeting you, but you didn't respond. You had in your spirit, I got to talk to my Lord. I got to get loud and let him know that this thing is getting on my nerves. I got to let him know these folks are getting the best of me. I got to let my God know I need some help. Young people, the Bible says that we serve a jealous God. And when he looks down on the members of the MSW, he's revealing this morning that he's seeing young girls and young women talk to everybody else except for him. And then you got some young folk, they have the audacity, well, God know my heart. But what's in your heart should come out of your mouth. Young people, at this church, this great congregation, they like to hold stuff in. Like to just keep it to themselves. But see, the Bible teaches me about a woman named Hannah. The Bible says that Hannah had a husband who had two wives. Two wives. She was one, and Peninnah, young people, was the other. Now, the husband had been good to both of them. Now, Peninnah, young folk, she could have children. And she was having them. And she was talking about Hannah because the Bible teaches that the Lord had shut up her womb. But it was her desire to have children. And so she had to live with, in the same house, another woman that was messing with her. Oh, isn't that the same situation somebody in right now? You got a sister or a girlfriend or a sister here at the church. When I say girlfriend, sister at the church, that's getting on your nerves. You got to learn how to keep coming to church with another sister that still may be getting on your nerves. You love them, but she get on you. Oh, man, let me go ahead and come into my house. I love my wife, but sometimes she get on my... Can she flip it? She love me, but sometime I get on her. And we got the brothers scared to say something about their wife. How many brothers in here that's married? Your wife get on your nerves. Yeah, you love her. But you got to learn how to dwell with women, the Bible says, with understanding. You got to learn how to come to church. Just like Hannah was in her house with another woman that was getting on her nerves, they were still living together. And you got to learn how to go through what you're going through and deal with other women in the same church that may sometimes get on your nerve. Ooh, look how y'all looking now. I said, look how y'all looking now. Because whether you know it or not, there will be young women in the same church. Both saved. Both got the Holy Spirit. But occasionally, they get on one another's nerves. It happens in the adult church. And you best believe, look at somebody say, you best believe. It happens in the youth and the young adult church. Yeah, it happens. But there's no excuse. You got to show love one to another. And so instead of Hannah allowing Peninnah to get on her nerves, you know what she began to do? She began to seek the Lord. She began to go before God and just call on him, just like the psalmist. And she began to talk to God about her desire. She got so connected to God to where folk would see her, her husband would see her praying and moving her lips, but nothing was coming out, and he thought she was drunk. And he said, look, I ain't drunk. I just been seeking the Lord. I really want a man child. See, the lesson is that when you're dealing with situations and people that are getting the best of you, you got to seek the Lord. You got to turn your focus off of them and off of it and start putting it on the Lord. And that's what she did. That's what the psalmist did. He got loud. He began to call on the Lord. But then notice the text says he cried out to my God. So he was loud, but he began to cry out or pray. Be bold in making his request. He wasn't just getting loud just to be getting loud. He was coming boldly before the throne of grace. He was letting the Lord know what it is that he needed, what he desired. And see, that's what we have to do. You got to be bold. You got to be loud with God when it's in order. And you have to be bold. You have a right as a child of God to go boldly before your God. If he's your God, if you got a personal, sincere, and daily relationship with him, you got a right. Yeah, Lord, I'm a teenager, but I know you done made me some promises in this word. Yeah, Lord, I'm in my 20s, but I know you made me some promises in your word. And all of your promises are yes and amen. Yeah, I ain't got to be grandmama age, mama age, daddy age. Look, I know my rights as your child. And so I'm coming boldly before you. I'm coming before you, Lord. I need some help. I need a miracle. I got a need I need met. Look at somebody say, you got to get bold. Yeah, see, when you have a personal, sincere, and daily relationship with God, you can get bold with him. You ain't praying, Lord, if you hear me. Lord, if you're up there. Lord, if you're not too busy. No, it ain't none of that. You know that your God hears you. You know he hears you. And that's what the psalmist said. He said he heard my voice. Young people. We get enough teaching to know that God hears us. But sometimes, if the truth be told, we act like God does not hear us. God hears. Matter of fact, help me say that. Say, my God, he hears. He hears. He is attentive, alert, and aware of what I'm saying. He is attentive, alert, and aware of what I'm saying. Not just in his church, but outside the church. Again, our God does what he hears. I gotta, before I deal with the verse, young people, I need to expound on some things that God hears, because it needs to be clear to you that God hears you and he hears me. So let's look at some truths about the hearing of our God. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers is in the New Testament, Old Testament, right? All right. Numbers chapter number 12. Y'all got to see this verse. Now, I'm concerned about Numbers 12, 1 through 10. That's what I want you to read this week. 1 through 10. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to read 1 and 2. Numbers 1 and 2 of chapter number 12. But what's your assignment this week? Read Numbers 12, what? 1 through 10. Notice verse 1. Again, we're looking at a truth about God's hearing. And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat. Hold on. I'm reading the wrong thing. Please forgive me. Numbers 12, verse 1. Then Miriam, and Aaron spoke against who? Moses. Moses was the preacher. Miriam and Aaron were under Moses. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us? Help me. Also, here it is. And the Lord heard it. The Lord did what? Now, who was talking? Miriam and Aaron. Was Moses around? No. Moses wasn't nowhere around. Who was Miriam and Aaron talking about? Moses and his wife. But who heard their conversation? The Lord. Young people, your God hears your every conversation. And he hears who you talk about. Miriam and Aaron were talking about Moses, their pastor, and who he married. And they spoke against Moses and his wife. They had an opinion that was negative, and they spoke about somebody else. But what I want you to see, young people, is that God heard their conversation. I have personally learned that God hears my conversations. Whether I'm talking about stuff that I should be talking about, or whether I'm talking about things I shouldn't be talking about, listen, or whether I'm just casually talking to somebody. God hears every conversation. Who you been talking about? What you been talking about? Pastor may not know, but the Lord does. You better remember, if you setting stuff up with you and somebody else and you up to no good, the Lord hears that. He hears that. You planning on doing stuff you ain't got no business planning on doing, the Lord hears that. Even when it comes to how we express ourselves to other folk, look, this just between me. And you, no, it ain't. The Lord hears every conversation. Last week, me and my wife were at home, and we were in the kitchen, at the kitchen table, having supper. That's what I call it. She don't like to say that. She said, you sound like old folk. I said, well, we having supper. And so we were having a meal. And it was cold. No, it was cold outside. And so we were eating our meal. Listen. And we were just talking. And I said, man, you know what would be good? She had made some chili that night. And we were eating the chili. Y'all still with me? This is a regular conversation at the table while we eating some chili. And we were just eating that chili. I was like, girl, you did a good job. You should have made some rice with this chili, but this is some pretty good chili. And we were just eating it with some crackers. I'm trying to paint the picture. And I was talking with my mouth full. And I said, baby, you know what would be good? It's cold outside. It would be nice if we could have some of that vegetable soup that your daddy used to make us. Now, a few months ago, her father passed. And so we began to talk, man, I'm sure gonna miss your daddy. He used to make us that vegetable soup. That soup was so good on cold days like this. And she agreed with me. She was eating the chili. Yeah, I'm gonna miss him too. And I would like to have some soup. And she was like, because I ain't gonna make it. And that was the end of the conversation. Got to church Tuesday. And somebody walked up to me. And somebody walked up to my wife. The same person walked up to her on her job. And then when we got to church on Tuesday, They said, do y'all like vegetable soup? I want to make y'all some vegetable soup. When my wife got home, you know what I told her? I said, girl, the Lord was listening to our conversation. The woman bought us two bowls of soup. One with ground beef in it for her, and vegetable with no meat in it for me. And we took it home, and we just ate it and gave God thanks, knowing we talked about it. Man, God was listening to our conversation. What is this teaching us, young people? Be careful what you talk about and who you talk about. God listening. When your mama do something you don't like and under your breath you start mumbling stuff about your mama, and she say, what you say? Nothing. The Lord heard it. And you got to remember verses like, honor your mother and father in the Lord, that it may be well with you. So you have to be respectful. Lord, she getting on my nerve, but I respect the Lord. See, we can be angry, but sin not. God hear every conversation. And see, as I started the message, we live in a digital age. And so you have a lot of young people, they have conversations on devices. You better understand, God see what's going on. God hear every conversation. Exodus. Let's go to Exodus now. Exodus 16. Are we learning? Every conversation. That's what he hears. And when you read your verses this week in Numbers 12, 1 through 10, you'll find out that God would do stuff about it here in our conversation. He punished Miriam and Aaron just because of what they were saying about God's prophet. And see, that teaches us, young people, God will reward us or punish us based on things that we say. Why? Because death and life are in the what? Power of the tongue. Exodus 16 and 8. Also Moses said, is that right? This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening. Who gave Israel meat to eat in the evening? The Lord. Thank you, Scott. And in the morning, bread to the what? To the full. So he gave them bread in the morning, and the Lord gave them what? Meat in the evening. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord's. Young people, God not only hears conversations, but he hears complaints. Now here the Lord is providing for his people, but they complain. Complaining. Ungrateful for what the Lord has done for them. You know, you got some complaining young people and young adults here at this church. In every congregation, you got complaining preachers, leaders, lay members, first ladies, and so forth. In every congregation, you're going to have somebody that got the nerve to complain for what God is doing in their life. Complaining, being ungrateful. You better be grateful you got something to eat. Be happy you got something to eat. It may not be what you want to eat, but thank God you got. Mama dropped me off down the street and I'll walk the rest of the way. Look, you better be glad you got somebody to drop you off. Have you ever been driving down the street and see folk walking? And have you ever just been saying, Lord, that could be me? Now, I ain't driving all of what I want, but Lord, I thank you that my car got heat and I'm not walking like this person that I see on this street. Complaining about getting detention when you should have got expelled. You better thank God. Show up on time to detention. But Pastor, they gave me detention for 2 weeks. You better get up in there. I'm glad to be here. You can be at the alternative school. Do they still have alternative school? Complaining. This ought to be a week that you be giving God thanks like never before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this ham. It may not be honey baked, but I thank you for this ham. Lord, I thank you for these green beans. They may came out of a can, but Lord, I thank you for these green beans. Thank you that somebody cooking my plate for me, Lord. Lord, I could be down at the homeless center where they give me what they got, but I got somebody here at my house that can cook a plate for me. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for these clothes. They are 2 years old, Lord, but I thank you that I got me some clothes. I'm not down at the Goodwill picking out the red tags. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this penny on the ground, Lord. I'm going to pick this penny up, right? I appreciate this penny right here. Whatever God does for us, young people, whatever God uses somebody to do for you, don't complain. Just be grateful. Be thankful. I said be thankful. Don't complain. Because God hear it. God hear it. God hear it. God hears it. The nerve of you to complain about that old phone that your parents got you. The nerve of you. The nerve of you. You still on 3G. The nerve of you. The nerve of you. When just the other day you didn't have no phone. But now you got a phone. In our text, as we close, the psalmist said God heard his voice. He heard his voice. And see, I want you to leave here today, young people, knowing that God hears your conversations, God hears your complaints, but God also hears your voices or your requests. He hears it. And he's not the type of God who just hears and doesn't do anything about it. He hears and he does something. For the Bible says that everyone that asks, receive. Everyone that seeks, they'll find. Everyone that knock, it will be open. God hears your voice. He hears it. Notice, if you will, again in our text, Psalm 18 and 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He cried out and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. From heaven. From glory. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. He was attentive, alert, and aware. Young people, no matter what you go through in life, as long as you remain the child of God, he'll hear your voice. Whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're shopping, God hears your voice. Yeah, I said whether you're in your room, whatever you put on the table, the Bible says his ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. Even when you find yourself in a position that you messed up in, God will hear you in the midst of your mess. He'll hear you. But he does not want you to neglect him in life, young folk. He wants you to bring that care to him. Don't be the type of young man or young woman that tries to handle your issues, your problems, on your own when you serve a God that will hear you and help you. How many have ever had the tendency to try to figure your way out in life? Be honest, by a show of hands. I got it. No, you need to be talking to a God that will hear you and send you some help. He'll do it. And so I want us to have the confidence that God hears us. So how do I get that particular confidence? Let's look at two verses and then we're done. Let's go to Psalm 34. Matter of fact, I beat y'all to it. I'm rolling. Look at Psalm 34 and 15. I think I said 32 then. Again, I'm rolling. Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous or faith walkers, and his ears are what? Open to their cry, to their prayer, to their request, to their conversation. When you're sick, you should be talking to God. I'm hurting, Lord. I need your help. What do I need to do? Do I need to take something? Do I need to just pray? What do I need to do? Lord, I'm feeling some kind of way. This girl looking good. She giving me the signs that the door is open. I need your help, Lord. How many know some folk will leave the door open and they just waiting on you to walk or run right on in? Yeah, you got to know how to talk to the Lord. You got to know how to talk to the Lord. His ears are open. Lord, my account is getting low. Oh, Jesus, I need some help. Now, Lord, you know I'm a tither. You know I'm a giver. Lord, I need you to do what you said in Philippians 4 and 19. I got some needs that I need you to supply. His ears are open. I don't ever want you to be to the point to where you are convinced because your feelings are telling you that God does not hear you. Have you ever felt like God wasn't listening to you? Man, have you ever wondered if God was listening to you? That needs to be out the door after the day. No matter what position you are in, God hears you. Even if he don't respond in the time or the way you desire, he heard you. He heard you. Yeah. Hezekiah was sick unto death, turned his face to the wall, started talking to the Lord. And guess what? The Lord heard him and immediately did something. But then in Daniel, you had someone that prayed and their prayer went up to God's temple or to heaven. And the prayer was being hindered by demons for 21 days. But this is how the Lord responded. He said, look, when you prayed, I heard you. It's just that the answer was being fought for 21 days. So no matter what you go through, young people, always remember, God, he hears you. He hears you. And you want to get to the point to where you mature like Jesus. I got to show y'all this. Let's go to John. I want you to see it in your Bible. Let's go to John or on your phone. John 11 and 42. Y'all, come on. I got 2 minutes. I told y'all I'm rolling. John 11, look at what Jesus said in John 11, 42, the first part. This is where I want you to mature to the point to where you have this testimony. Jesus said, and I know that you always hear me. What did Jesus say? He knew that God what? Always hears him. Whether you blessing food or whether you need God to do something urgently. I want you to mature to the point to where you know God always hears you. And again, we're seeing this morning that there are some of us, you feel like God don't be hearing you, but he does. He does. You just have to have the confidence to know that he hears you. Last verse, how do I know he hears us? Let's go to 1 John and we're going to close with this. 1 John, in the back of the Bible. Some of y'all, come on now. Some of y'all not turning. You got to see this. When you pray for your friend on your job, at your workplace, you need to know God hear you. God hearing that prayer. How do I get that confidence? 1 John 5 and 14. Read it with me. When I pause, you pick it up. Y'all ready? Prove to me that you at 1 John 5, 14 and verse 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his or his word, help me with them next three words. He. So if I ask him something that's according to the Bible, he what? He hears us. 15. And if we know that he hears us, look at this. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we have asked of him. So if I know healing is what God promised me, and I'm sick in my body, and I ask him, Lord, I need more healing, because you said, by your stripes, I am healed. When you put that Bible on that request, you need to know that he what? He heard you. Lord, I'm going to the city. Bless me going in and bless me coming out. Guess what? He heard you. We went to the city this week or yesterday. I prayed two times before we left the driveway. I said, Lord, please help us get there safely and get back. Lord, you said if I ask, I receive. Man, I messed around and went up to Atlanta on 285, young folk, and they were doing some construction. I like to kill me and First Lady. I did. It was on my side, too. Man, I just got confused at what they were doing on the road. Cars were blowing at me. Man, I thought I done dented up the little car. Man, I told my wife, I'm sorry. But God heard that prayer. Woo, he protected us from danger. Sing. I'm telling y'all, I was scared. I messed up. I missed the turn. I missed the curb. I was hitting orange cones and everything. But that prayer kicked me and he heard me. Woo, Jesus, he heard me. I said, Lord, I thank you. This man blew his horn at me so hard. I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And it was just quiet in that car. I was scared. Now, we laughing. But I know, I told my wife, I said, man, I prayed two times. I know he heard me. He heard me. No matter what you go through, young folk, I want you to remember that God, he hears. Even if he don't move the way you desire him to move, have the confidence to know he heard you and he gonna work it out together for your good. How many have learned today that God hears? By a show of hands. Let's give God a hand clap. I'm gonna stop right
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.JeromeABaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.